The stars in colliding galaxies rarely meet. But the gases in colliding galaxies do bang together, and one result appears to be that some interacting galaxies undergo bursts of star formation, where large numbers of new stars form in only millions of years. No one knows for certain yet what other effects may result from galaxy collisions, but it's an area of intense research. For April 29th, that's Stardate, and for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
That's fine. That's just about enough of that. Just about enough. That's all. Stop it. I'm so tired of that same thing week after week, after boring week. It's time for a change. Time for something different. Time for a new way of looking at things. Time for some new sounds, some new voices, some new people, some new music, some new atmosphere. That's what it's time for right here.
Enter area code.
516.
Enter exchange.
632.
Stonybrook 9. Enter area code.
Well, you could say Stonybrook 9, or Stonybrook, or whatever he says, but it's actually Stonybrook, New York. 516-632. 6901, that's our telephone number, and we have all kinds of neat, groovy things planned for you. Pick an exchange, yes, any exchange, he will tell you where it is. I mean, I think that's incredible. You think that's incredible, Jim?
What's that, to be able to just...
Well, this computer here will tell you where you are.
Oh. Now,
what I'll do is I'll contact him again, see if he's still there.
By picking a particular exchange, they will tell you what general area.
They'll tell you exactly where it is. Not what general area, tell you exactly where it is.
I see.
As it will show up on your phone bill. Yeah, pick an exchange in any area code.
Okay, let's pick 212 Butterfield 8.
Well, it's all going to say New York. It's all going to say New York.
Okay, just going to say Manhattan.
Got to hurry up.
Okay, so, 202-473.
We didn't move fast enough. Okay.
Okay.
We have to know in advance.
I'm terribly sorry.
Okay.
213-877.
So you want a different one now?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Pacific 202 will be Washington, obviously, but maybe 213 will be more expanded.
213 where?
Look, 877.
877?
Yeah.
Does this exist?
I don't know.
213-877. Okay. All right. We'll do that.
Enter area code. Enter exchange.
877?
Yes.
LSANGVN14 Ka. Enter area code.
I don't know what the 14 meant, but the Ka was California. Let's try.
Enter exchange.
I'm going to try something for a Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma, nigh. Enter area code.
Well, I guess you're not quite up on all the pronunciations.
Let's try good old Fisher's Island.
Enter exchange.
Fisher's Island is 788, I believe.
F-I-S-H-E-R-S, I-S, nigh. Enter area code.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
The knowledge that's locked up in this thing.
How about... 718-266.
266?
Mm-hmm.
Enter exchange. Brooklyn, Cini. Enter area code.
Let's hear you again. 718? What was it again?
Enter exchange. 266. Brooklyn, Cini.
Brooklyn?
Enter area code.
Dutch pronunciation. I guess. The original name of the...
We're going to try something
enter
for Queens.
Exchange.
This is a Queens. Let's see how he says that.
Queens 9.
Queens 9.
Enter area code.
He'll stay on forever. Let's try Smithtown.
Enter exchange. Smith on 9. Enter area code.
Her computer's amazing.
Extraordinary. Let's see. I guess this book was pronounced Brecklin. Brecklin.
He's gone.
I guess it was the original Dutch pronunciation, so I guess he was pretty close there.
Yeah. He was. This is a traditional computer here.
Well, that's admirable.
But, of course, as you know, computers exist everywhere, left and right. There's no stopping them. And at any moment, a new computer can pop onto the scene and greet you in some manner. You never know when you're speaking to them. You never know where they are. But you can be convinced that...
Please enter your authorization code.
123456, or whatever. 7. No?
Please enter your authorization code.
Okay, I didn't like that. Let's hit all zeros.
Your call did not go through.
Okay, well, enough of that. There's one more. Yes, there is one more that I think is the most interesting of all. Because this one actually allows you to go two ways, to speak back and forth, and that's always fun when you get a computer that understands what it is you're trying to say. It's not often that you get that in a person, even.
Please enter the number you are calling.
Am I supposed to speak now?
Please enter the number you are calling.
6. Hello? Well, it worked last time.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Okay, that didn't
check
work.
Check the number and dial again. 212-5P.
Well, one of them worked before. I don't know what happened. Sometimes these things go on. Anyway, it's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. Program is Brain Damage. And what's that?
That's for the end of Brain Damage tonight.
Giving me the theme.
Yes.
You trying to tell me something?
No. Me trying to tell you something? Hardly.
Well, I've had enough computers. I've had enough of all these things right now. So, if you will, a little change of pace.
The 3-digit code of the inn you are requesting. be certain to wait for the tone before speaking each digit.
1, 2, 3.
You said 1, 2, 3. At the tone, if correct, say yes. If incorrect, say no.
No!
Please speak the three-digit code of the inn you are requesting.
An intelligent
computer.
Be certain
to wait for the tone before speaking each digit.
1, 2, cheese.
You said 1, 2, 2. At the tone, if correct, say yes. If incorrect, say no.
Yeah.
I am connecting your call now.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I'm going. These computers are scary things. Scary beasts, indeed.
Thank you for calling Knights in Somerset. This is Dana. How may I help you?
Yes, hi. Where did I end up?
Knights in Somerset.
Somerset where?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went to the wrong state. Thank you anyway.
Okay.
See what can happen if you tell a computer to do something. You can end up going god-awful places like Somerset, Pennsylvania. Whew. 13 after 10 o'clock, and enough of this silliness. Time for something very, very, very extremely serious now.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Here's Joe Adamov to answer your questions. Francis Lawlor from Dublin, Ireland asks, does the Soviet Union have any diplomatic relations with Kampuchea at the present time?
We do have diplomatic relations with Kampuchea, and on the whole, I would characterize our relations as very good. We are rendering aid to Kampuchea, and so is UNICEF, the United Nations organization.
Was the Soviet embassy in Phnom Penh evacuated in 1975 during the time of the takeover of the Khmer Rouge?
We did not have an embassy there at the time of the takeover.
Why, in your opinion, is the People's Republic of China giving safe refuge to Pol Pot? Surely he should be on trial for crimes against humanity. Do you agree?
Well, I think the proper thing to do would be to address your question to the Chinese People's Republic. Of course, there's no doubt that there was genocide in Kampuchea on an unprecedented scale. I understand that something like 3 million... out of a population of 8 or 9 million, were killed. This is a fact, and it's monstrous. Of course, the main thing today is to solve, that is, to regulate the Kampuchean problem, and we want to see a solution to this problem which would exclude the activization of the Khmer Rouge, that yes. And judging by everything, the talks are making headway. Now, as for Pol Pot, he was tried in his absence by the People's Revolutionary Tribunal in Kampuchea in August 1979. He was accused of usurping power and using this power to commit criminal actions. Many witnesses spoke at the trial, and on the 19th of August 1979, he was sentenced to death in his absence.
Does the Soviet Union have any diplomatic relations with Albania? When were they severed?
We do not have any diplomatic relations with Albania, unfortunately. Relations were severed in 1961. This was after the 20th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, when Khrushchev denounced Stalin's personality cult.
What do you think of the government of Albania?
Well, it's not for me to criticize other nations' governments. That's their internal affair. We definitely want better relations with Albania, and we see no reasons why our relations should not be returned to normal. This would be a realistic policy, we feel. Today, Albania has trade relations with many countries, and we think that this can only be welcomed.
Bob Nagel, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How are your reforms affecting ordinary Soviet citizens?
Well, I think the biggest and most obvious change is glasnost, or openness. Today, the media is full of articles which openly discuss anything and everything. There truly is freedom of speech, and the degree of criticism of things past and present is really unbelievable. I think this would be unthinkable only a few years ago. Our people are now enjoying competitive elections, preceded during the election campaign by heated debates and discussions. People now truly choose their Congress. We are witnessing democracy in action, when quite a number of high-ranking officials who thought they were sitting firmly in the saddle have not been elected, for instance. These are some of the changes that everybody notices. But unfortunately, there are no noticeable changes yet on the shop counters. You may ask why? Well, because the strings that have enveloped the old economic system and economic ties, these strings are still strong and have not been broken. And some of the measures taken, we feel, were not far-reaching enough. Nevertheless, our economy is picking up speed much more. Housing is being built. The services of all types are being developed, and greatly. Such indices as the national income, productivity of labor show a steady rise. This is a fact. But of course, for the housewife to feel the difference in the stores, in the supermarkets, it'll take several years, and economists agree that this is a fact.
Mr. Muse from Oakville, Ontario, is interested. How many nations maintain embassies or consulates in the USSR?
There are over 110 embassies and about 38 general consulates. Now, if the embassies are in Moscow, the consulates are often in other cities like Leningrad, Odessa, Kiev, and so on. Today, the Soviet leadership believes that the development of international relations demands that the interests of all nations be taken into consideration. And many problems in the world today can be resolved only through the joint efforts of all nations, whose mutual dependence grows continuously. We have to remember that we're all astronauts aboard one big spaceship called Mother Earth, and we have to learn to share this spaceship.
Richard Thornton, Stewart, British Columbia. Does anyone in the Soviet Union live as I do? I live in a tiny community that strives to self-sufficiency. We build our homes from logs, grow and hunt much of what we eat, and try to live in harmony with nature and others.
You know, I forgot what communities like yours are called, but I've read about them. I suppose it's the back-to-nature idea, isn't it? Well, I don't think we have a movement like that here, but I dare say that in villages in some remote areas of Siberia, they, to a very great extent, are self-sufficient, the only connection with the outside world being by riverboat, or by helicopter or plane. Mind you, the rivers are frozen for the greater part of the year.
Matthew Zhukovsky, Fairbanks, Alaska. You have so many nationalities in your country. Do some of the outlying nationalities ever show resentment of centralized control from Moscow?
It is not only the nationalities that show resentment at being ordered about from the center, but many regions and areas of Russia proper, too. They want more independence. The rights of the republics have been widened today. They have much more economic independence, independence in social and cultural development, and each republic should be interested, we believe, in the end result of its economic activity. Citizens of this or that republic must know what and how much each republic produces, what its contribution is to the welfare of the country as a whole, and how much it receives in return. We are also for direct ties between the various republics. We feel that each republic should be in charge of its consumer goods industry, of its food industry, of its local transport, of its medical care, schools, and catering establishments. But we certainly do feel it would be unwise to dismember or cut up our single railroad network, our airlines, our electric power grid, our oil and gas supply system, such things as production of machines. This, we feel, should be under central jurisdiction.
Gene Nixon, Kirkland Lake, Ontario. Is some of your ethnic unrest the result of misconceptions by some people of what the present restructuring is all about?
You see, the ethnic unrest is in a way due to glasnost or openness, because formerly all economic and ethnic problems were swept under the carpet. Today, thanks to glasnost, many economic problems, they came to the surface, so to speak, and have taken on an ethnic flavoring. For instance, in industry, there would be too many orders, too many instructions and directives from the center. This was resented, and naturally there would be discontent. Or in some republics, much new industry was built, so a lot of labor had to be brought in from Russia proper, and the local population found itself diluted, so to say. This caused friction and discontent, too. In some republics, almost half of the population had come in from outside. And what happened was that some extremist elements began calling them immigrants or even invaders. You read about this in our press. There were cases when this new industry that was brought in did much harm from the point of view of ecology. They didn't like that either. You can understand that. But I will say this. Most republics cannot complain that their national culture was in any way infringed upon. Schools and colleges, after all, are in the local language, so are the law courts, television and radio, newspapers, books, and the theater. But there have been cases when national culture was suppressed. A case in point is Nagorno-Karabakh, where 80% of the population are Armenian. This autonomous region is under Azerbaijan. Now, they could not watch television in Armenian from their capital. There was a lack of textbooks of schools in the Armenian language, and this was admitted by our media. Today, things are being corrected. Much money has been allocated to this region, and it is now under the administration appointed by the National Parliament in Moscow.
Automobile insurance here in Canada is outrageously high. How is this problem handled in the USSR?
Well, first of all, we all enjoy government finance insurance of citizens in case of accident or invalidity. But you can insure your car against an accident, against fire or theft. That is voluntary. You can insure it for a certain sum, which many people do, or the whole cost of the car. The insurance which covers the car and yourself, that is your life and invalidity and so on, amounts to about $300 a year for a car that costs approximately $15,000. So it's life insurance plus automobile insurance in a package deal for $300 annually. Now, suppose you became an invalid in an automobile accident, then you would get government insurance, which I spoke of at the beginning of my answer, plus the insurance for which you paid the $300 annually. Most people do insure their cars because our accident rate and death toll on the roads is high, unfortunately. Now, in the United States, about 50 to 55,000 people are killed on the roads every year. In my country, it's about 45,000 a year killed on the roads. But, and this is a very big but, the United States has 10 or 12 times more cars.
Does the school bus system exist in the USSR?
I'm afraid not, but I've seen a typical yellow school bus outside the American Embassy here in Moscow. We do not have the urban sprawl that you're used to in your cities. Most families live in high-rise apartment buildings, so there is a much bigger concentration of people, and children usually live within walking distance of their school. Of course, in the rural areas, sometimes the collective or state farm will provide transportation.
Is English taught in Soviet schools?
English is one of the three foreign languages taught in Soviet schools. It is the most widespread and popular of the three, The other two languages are German and French. Mind you, in the republics, they also study Russian as a go-between language. This language, that is Russian, links the something like 100 ethnic groups inhabiting our country. So you see, a school in, say, Uzbekistan will study a foreign language, Russian, and their mother tongue. Of course, languages are also taught in our colleges and universities.
How much of the English language is generally understood by Soviet citizens?
You know, the most difficult thing is to learn to speak a foreign language. You need practice, in other words. The few hours devoted to a foreign language in school can only give an elementary command of the spoken language, but of course they do learn to read and write texts with the aid of a dictionary. People more or less fluent in the language are usually graduates of language colleges or the College of International Relations. Many also go to special language courses. So if you get lost in a Moscow subway or on a Moscow street, there'll always be someone who could help you, however broken their English may be, because I think friendliness and the urge to help overcome all barriers.
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR.
Hi, I need AT&T, please.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
AT&T, Pam, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I need to make an overseas information call, please.
What city and country?
This would be to Tirana in Albania.
Tirana, T-E-R?
Actually, it's spelled T-I-R-A-N-A. It's the capital city.
In Albania?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we have no service available to Albania at this time.
Does that mean you'll have it later on?
I really don't know. As of right now, we have no service going to that country. You know, maybe in the future we might, but... As of right now, we don't.
You mean there's no service at all?
No.
Why is that?
I don't know. You know, maybe there's no agreement between our country and their country, but we have no service to that country right now.
Uh-huh. Is it possible somebody there might know, like a supervisor or someone?
I'll connect you to my supervisor, but I don't think she would know anything more than what my computer's telling me. She has the same computer.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just need some background information on this, because I got a friend over there, and I'd like to call him.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of disturbing to find out you can't even call.
Well, hold on a minute.
Thank you. We'll get to the bottom of this. Actually, if you've been listening to this radio station, various programs I've been doing over the years, you'll know that I've been trying to call Albania for many years now. Only the last...
Hello, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for waiting. Okay, I just checked with my supervisor. She said she would have no other information other than what's in the computer that, you know, I have.
Okay, well, while you were gone, I thought of something. I had heard from a friend of mine, since Albania is right next to Yugoslavia, that the Belgrade operator might have information for Albania. Is that possible?
We could check. I don't know. Hold on.
Thank you. Anyway, as I was saying, we have been trying to connect over the last couple of weeks, though. I've
Belgrade, would you said?
Yes, that's the capital of Yugoslavia.
Okay, let's go to information there, see if they can give us any number. Even if they have a number, you wouldn't be able to dial there.
Yeah, well, as long as I get the number, then I might be able to, you know, to have a friend in Europe call or something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Got to think fast when they... So, over the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking of nothing else than... Excuse me, completing a call to this strange country that hates everybody. Well, shouldn't say that, but that's just the way it's portrayed. What you're hearing now is a Yugoslavian ring. Of course, I didn't have to say that. It's pretty obvious it's a Yugoslavian ring. This always happens, you know. We always get a phone ringing on Europe someplace. They don't answer the damn phone.
Ah. Europe's out for the night.
Something happened. Hello?
Hello? Yes, good morning. This is the United States. Operator, is it possible, do you have any listings for someone that might that lives in the country of Albania?
Which country?
Albania.
No, I don't have the line.
You don't? Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, I guess I'm out of luck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I'll work this out somehow.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, failure again. What do you think, Jim? Trying to call this blasted country for years now, and I'm always thwarted, you know?
Well, at the very least, I guess they don't like you.
You think this whole thing is because of that? You know?
What's that?
I said I was sorry.
Oh, well, yeah, I think your apology should have been considered sufficient. But look, some people just take a little longer to get over things, I suppose.
I don't know. If anyone has any smart ideas on how to call Albania, this is the place to submit them, because that's, from this point on, that is our goal here at this radio program, is to call Albania successfully.
Maybe you should change the name of the program, at least temporarily, until you reach the goals, to something like...
Albania Reach. Calling or something.
Yeah, calling Albania.
Yeah.
Or reaching out to Albania. Or long lines across the waters. Or satellite across two continents or something like that.
Yeah, and to give some background, Albania is the country that has kicked out the Soviet Union. They kicked out communist China. And, of course, the United States isn't allowed anywhere near the place. They're very isolationist, they're very hard-line communist.
They may be the only country that has an official government position of international bouncer.
International bouncer?
Yeah, as let's say a bouncer in a bar throws people out. So apparently, I'm just speculating.
I think you certainly are speculating there. Mm-hmm. They are...
I think I'm making a spectacle of myself.
Yes, that goes without saying there. So if anyone has any bright ideas on that, this is the place to submit them. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. Let's take a quick look at the news, and we'll get into some other topics for tonight that we're looking at. We've got all kinds of things to discuss. Sources say the delay keeping the space shuttle Atlantis on the launch pad could last a week or more. They say it could take that long to repair a faulty fuel pump and a leaking fuel line. Protests on both sides of the abortion issue were held today outside women's clinics in 16 states. The rallies ended with some 1,400 arrests counted. 1,400. It's a lot of paperwork there. Conflicting casualty figures. I'm sorry, conflicting casualty figures are coming out of the occupied Gaza Strip following the latest clashes between Israeli troops and Palestinians. There are reports that at least 18 Palestinians were wounded today, but the Israeli military command reports only 3 wounded. And the hotline, the link between Washington and Moscow to reduce the risk of an accidental war, has a new owner. Western Union says it sold the private line service to a Swiss-owned company, which is appropriate since Switzerland is neutral. The weather, it's 11 degrees Celsius. That comes out to be 52 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting it to continue raining with a chance of a short thunderstorm in the interim. Temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, rain ending during the morning with a 40% chance of an afternoon shower in the morning, high in the upper 60s. And for tomorrow night, clearing, low in the upper 40s. And that's a look at the news and weather here on WUSB. The program is Brain Damage. Eric Corley with you. Calling Albania is one thing that we're known for here, but it's not the only thing we're known for. We're known for all kinds of other interesting discussions. We're known for taking your phone calls. So if you want to give us a call now before we get into anything else that we're going to talk about, 516-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, can I order a pizza, please?
You certainly may. What would you like?
Anchovies and pepperoni.
Okay. And is that large or small?
Medium.
Okay, where's that going to?
To the Bad Popes, man.
To the where?
The Bad Popes.
The Bad Popes?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, I know where that is. It'll be there presently. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Ah, yes. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I spoke to you before.
Did you?
Last time I spoke to you, I was coming back from Burma.
Oh, wow. The Burmese traveler. Well, you're not Burmese, but you were in Burma.
Yeah,
Now don't tell me you were in Albania, because nobody's been in Albania.
No, I was just calling to tell you that you're now allowed to go there. They're accepting tourists.
Who's not allowed to go there?
No, now you are allowed.
Oh, really? You're allowed to go there now? Well, who...
You're not Americans, but they're opening... I think Europeans are allowed there.
Uh-huh. And do they have to go through a lot to get there?
No, I just read some blurb in the Times, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Wow. That's, was that in the travel section by chance? I'm sorry?
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow. I wish I had seen that. So if you're European, you can get in, but not if you're American. They're very strict about that?
I know that definitely Americans can't go there.
And that's because of the Albanians, not because of the Americans?
Who knows?
Wow. That's,
I wanted to ask you if you saw the 2020. I missed it last night, I think.
Well, I can tell you I didn't see it, but what was on it?
They were interviewing the king of heroin in Burma.
Oh, wow.
Khao San, I think his name is.
I'm sorry, is he the king of heroin in Burma, or is he the king of heroin for the entire world who happens to live in Burma?
Oh, the biggest exporters of heroin come from Burma. It's the largest crop in Burma, I think, is heroin.
Well, that certainly is something. I guess there's a lot to be learned from how they harvest their crops.
Yeah, I wanted to catch it. I missed it.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't help you there, but, I don't know how it went. But if anyone saw that, they can call in and give us a transcript or something.
So what is this obsession with Albania?
Well, I wouldn't say it's an obsession. That's, I'm not obsessed with this. It's just become the motivating factor of my life right now.
Well, that sounds like an obsession.
Well, yeah, I guess, in a sense it is. It bothers me when I hear the operator say, we have no service at all. You cannot call there. I mean, there was a phone there in Albania. There is a way to make that phone ring from here.
There is.
I need to know what that way is, and I need to do it. And I need to have somebody pick up and say whatever they say when they pick up phones in Albania.
Countries?
Sorry?
Are there other countries besides Albania where you can't get a call?
From what I understand, the People's Republic of Yemen, which...
South Yemen and...
Which one is the one that the United States has classified as a terrorist nation? Which Yemen is that?
I think it's South Yemen.
South Yemen, and that's the one that we can't call at all. Also, North Korea, and I just found out Vietnam you can't call at all, which is kind of strange. I always thought you could call them. I mean, I don't know how how I'm supposed to keep in touch about the missing in action people if we can't even call them. But as far as closed societies, the two most secretive societies are North Korea and Albania. So those are.
And what about Syria?
Syria is not a very closed society. I mean, they may be a lot more closed than we're used to.
In terms of placing a phone call to.
I think you might not be able to do it directly, but you can book a call. You know, like to the Soviet Union, you can book a call in advance, and sometimes you can place it right away too.
Hmm.
So it's my thought that perhaps we could contact somebody over in Europe who has one of these two-line phones. And
do they have an embassy in the United States?
No, I don't think we have any diplomatic relations at all with them. I don't think. I might be wrong on that. But what we do is we find a country that does, a country that is allowed to call them.
Obviously.
And we call somebody in that country who pushes down a second line on their phone and dials the number for us, and then we're connected through his phone.
But it didn't work.
Well, we never tried that.
I thought you called Belgrade.
Well, no, that was an operator. We wanted to see if the information operator in Yugoslavia could connect us to Albania, but I didn't expect that to work. But if we just get a regular human being somewhere that has two lines and can call Albania, then we can call indirectly through him.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's my life's ambition right now.
Well, good luck.
Thank you. I expect this to take up the next few years. If anyone else has any bright ideas, 632-6901 is our phone number. I'll keep an eye out for that New York Times article, and if anyone has heard the interview with the heroin king, I'll make sure that we talk about that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Good night.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I work for the phone company.
Oh, okay.
And no one I know ever called up. We don't even have, like, an exchange or any kind of books on Albania, like even a yellow page, a white page, any kind of information.
So as far as you know, the place doesn't exist at all.
Well, all I do is string wires, but I just never heard of nobody calling Albania.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of them commie countries behind the Iron Curtain.
Well, you see, that's the interesting point. They're enemies with the Soviet Union. They're not part of their Iron Curtain. They've constructed their own Iron Curtain, and they're isolated from all the other countries.
But they're near Bulgaria.
Sorry?
Are they near Bulgaria?
Well, they border on Yugoslavia, and they're across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. They're a lot closer to Bulgaria than we are, but it's not one of their neighbors.
Right. Were they involved in the shooting of the Pope with Bulgaria?
That, I think, was Romania.
Romania?
Well, it might have been Bulgaria, but I think it was a Romanian person that was involved.
Well, these commie countries got them funny names like that.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason for it is to confuse us. It's to confuse us, you know?
I ain't confused.
Like North Dakota, South Dakota, that's all, like, you know, a way to confuse us.
All I know is I'm in a union.
Uh-huh.
I'm in Local 138.
Uh-huh.
The Electrical Workers Union. And no one that I know calls communist countries.
Well, you haven't found anyone here that does either, because we've been failing left and right. If you've been listening, we have not succeeded in calling. Well, actually, we did speak to Belgrade in Yugoslavia, so they're kind of a soft communist country. They're not hardliners.
Who's paying for these calls?
Well, you see, information is still free. That's the glorious part of this whole thing.
Why don't you call them collect? Maybe they'll pick it up just to wonder who's calling them.
How can we call them collect if we can't call them at all? You see the dilemma here. I'd be more than happy to call them collect, except they won't let us call them, period.
Don't have a dilemma. Just call them collect. I bet you they're going to be maybe no one ever calls them.
Well, that's true. No one ever calls them because, as you heard the operator in Yugoslavia say, she doesn't have any lines. There are no lines. They don't exist. There's no connection.
That's because 138 ain't over there.
That's because what?
European Local, 138. They string the lines.
Well, I'll get in touch with them and see what's going on here, because obviously there's some kind of a scam.
I can get any kind of good information on calling Albania. I'll give you a call.
I'd appreciate that, or send a letter here to WUSB, you know, because I need to know these things. This is important.
I don't want
to
mail nothing. The post office, those people, they lose the mail.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, the post office in many countries does lose the mail quite a bit. But that's one thing we take for granted here is the post office.
For me, you want to reach out and touch somebody, you call them on the phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on the other side of the room.
Well, get a longer line, a longer cord, the extension of the accordion cord.
We want to...
Nine.
We want to call them on the phone, but we can't. That's the problem.
Well, keep on trying then.
We're going to. We intend to.
Okay, take it easy.
Thank you. 632-6901, good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I saw the 2020 last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Well, the guy, he's pretty weirdo. It's like he has this army, and he lives out in the middle of nowhere in Burma or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And he recruits kids from, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they, stay there till 16, and they can stay longer, but they can leave at 16.
Uh-huh.
And, these big missiles and stuff for, shooting airplanes.
Anti-aircraft missiles?
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're well prepared, yes.
Yeah, and...
I mean, despite all the talk going around, heroin is a serious business.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta treat it like a business. It's not just fun and games. You know what I'm saying?
That's what the guy said. The guy said, "What do you think about when American mothers say stop killing our kids with heroin or something?"
Uh huh.
He says, "Well, he's like, I'm not trying to kill kids. It's like his business or something." He says, "If he doesn't grow heroin, then he doesn't get any money."
Got to make a living somehow, right?
Yeah, and he becomes a bum or something.
Well, God forbid he becomes a bum. So one thing we all live in mortal fear of is becoming a bum. Anything else interesting happened this week?
Not much. No.
Yeah? I mean, no, huh?
No. Well, that guy, he's trying to make a deal with President Bush.
Who's making a deal with President... Oh, Noriega?
The guy from Burma.
Oh, the guy from Burma. Okay, we're still there.
Yeah, he's trying to make a deal or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what it was. I didn't really talk about it that much anyway.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I think we've exhausted the subject of the Burmese heroin, but, it's interesting nonetheless.
Yes.
Anything else on your mind?
Not much. The guy who just called, I didn't really like him that much.
Well, I don't know if you have to like everybody that calls this show, you know.
That was part of the subject, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy from the phone company, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been trying to call Albania?
Let's see. It'll be coming up on, I believe, a decade. Next Sunday. Well, no, actually, it's been a long time, you know. I've been aware of the fact that you cannot call Albania for nothing for a long time now. It's been very frustrating because it doesn't look like something that's going to be resolved very soon. And I'll tell you, one of the best presents anybody could get me is a direct phone line over there so that I can hear a voice on the other end, you know. It's just one of those things, you know. You make something unobtainable and it becomes all the more wanted, you know.
What's the closest you've come to calling him?
Well, I guess tonight, calling Yugoslavia, that's pretty gosh darn close. You know, it's they're bordering on the country, and they just can't connect us to the country. Or they won't, or something like that. So I need some imaginative ideas here. I need some... it's an ongoing project of this radio program, and we're going to do it together.
Well, I can't help you on that one. I don't have any ideas.
Well... You never know when something will pop up, you know?
Yeah.
So keep your ears open.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. See you later.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Jim Wiener, that's my track.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes, sir. Caller embassy. Technically, you'd be calling their country.
Well, where is their embassy?
It's in Manhattan.
Albania has an embassy in Manhattan?
Isn't it? For the delegation to the UN, or are they out of the UN?
I don't know if they are in the UN. You know, that's a good question. I just assumed they were so isolationist they didn't want anything to do with any of this stuff. But this is what I'll do. I'll call information and see if they actually have...
Albanian delegation to the United States.
Uh-huh. I mean, do you know for a fact it's there?
No. Not if you mention it. If we don't recognize them, they wouldn't recognize us.
Yeah, I don't think...
Possibility of them would be the UN.
Yeah.
They'll be here, but not you know, fuck around with us.
Also, if anyone has any Albanian restaurants in mind, I'd like to know about those, too.
Oh, I think I know what they say when they answer the phone in Albania.
What's that?
Is this call authorized?
That's quite possible. That's quite possible. I'm starting to say that around here, too. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling about Elvis.
Elvis? Well, okay. That's the first time we've said this word today, but what about Elvis?
Elvis was some kind of... I don't know, he's going to be at a Burger King tomorrow?
Oh, not again. Now, didn't you guys go through this like a few months ago with Elvis at Burger King?
No, I just got them. Someone gave me a number.
Uh-huh.
And he's supposed to be at Burger King in Holbrook.
Burger King in Holbrook. Same place he was going to be at last time. I wonder if he ever showed up.
Well, if he did, I wasn't there.
Okay, well, what time is Elvis supposed to show up at this Burger King?
Brunch.
Huh?
It's brunch with Elvis.
Oh, I see.
I don't know what brunch is. 11 to 2?
Yeah, so that's about right. Well, listen, sir, I'm going to give you a job here.
Right.
You are now responsible for getting back to me next week and letting me know what happened.
Oh,
nobody did that last time.
Yeah, all right.
And I stayed up nights wondering if Elvis ever showed up, and was I stupid enough to stay away?
Yeah.
You know? So, tomorrow at the Holbrook, I assume there is a Burger King in Holbrook, so... That's where he will be.
Well, you wouldn't go if there wasn't one.
Is this a special occasion of some sort? Any particular reason for this?
May Day?
May Day. Well, May Day is Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, but just like they don't have the St. Patrick's Day parade all the time on the right day.
That's true. Yeah, they sometimes mess that up. Actually, though, it will be May Day in some parts of the world tomorrow as Elvis is at the Burger King. It will be May Day like in Japan and places like that.
You're not going?
Well, you know, I don't know for sure if I am, but if I remember and I'm up, I will think about it.
My friend Johnny's going.
Well, that just makes it more tempting. Thanks for calling and letting us know that.
I'll call you next week to tell you.
What's that?
I'll call you next week.
You make sure you do that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Right.
It's good when listeners band together like that and help each other out. Okay, it's been an amazing week. A lot of things going on. Have you been reading the newspapers? I've been reading the newspapers, and it's just been amazing. I mean, this whole Tawana Brawley thing, right? You've been reading about that? Newsday had this big article a couple of days ago saying that now it's come out that Tawana Brawley made up that whole story about being abducted and raped, and it was for the reason being. To get out of trouble inside her family. Now, I'll try to sum this up. Tawana Brawley has confided to a friend that she and her mother faked the widely publicized rape and racial assault to prevent Ralph King, who is her mother's live-in lover, from punishing the teenager. That's according to Newsday on Thursday, April 27th. Tawana shared her story 2 weeks ago, said Daryl T. Rodriguez, a close confidant who had been her new boyfriend at the time of her disappearance on November 24th, 1987. On Wednesday, Tawana denied Rodriguez's account and said she had not seen him since last summer. But several people told Newsday that they had seen the two together on different occasions this year, as recently as a week ago. This is basically it. Rodriguez, 19, said the black teenager told him she had run away from home after a beating by King that night in November, the same night she later claimed to have been abducted. She told him that she and her mother made up the story of a sexual assault to gain King's sympathy so he would allow her to return home without further punishment. There was no plan to make the matter public. So Tawana came up with the idea that if she was raped, Ralph would take her back into the house and feel sorry for her and everything would be normal. He wouldn't hit her anymore, and he would treat her a little better. So she thought up the idea of putting the feces on her, making her hairpiece, pulling her hairpiece out to make it look like a real rape. The plan backfired, according to the account, when a neighbor saw Tawana getting into a plastic bag before her mother picked her up. When she saw two white neighbors rendering aid to her daughter, Glenda Brawley left the area and reported to the Wappingers Falls police station that Tawana had been missing for 4 days. From that report and the investigations and public clamor that followed, the incident escalated into the internationally known Verley case. The 15-year-old had been discovered by neighbors in an apparently brutalized condition, smeared with dog feces, her clothing torn and burned, with KKK and other racial epithets inscribed on her blouse, shoes, and body. She later indicated she had been raped and sexually abused by up to 6 white men. Relying heavily on forensic and medical evidence, as well as dozens of witnesses, a 7-month probe by a state grand jury concluded that the charges were untrue and that Tawana's condition was not inconsistent with having been self-inflicted. Still, the case continued to stir anger, doubt, and racial suspicions, mainly because Tawana, who never publicly disclosed details of the case, her attorneys and supporters charged a cover-up and denounced the 170-page report. Others felt that the panel's work was inconclusive since the grand jury had been unable to discover what actually happened. So that's according to Newsday what Tawana's boyfriend has said. And according to who is this? Attorney General Robert Abrams. The overall outline of what Darryl Rodriguez has indicated in his Tawana story is consistent with what the grand jury found. According to Mr. Rodriguez, Darryl Rodriguez, this is what Tawana Brawley said. On the evening of Tuesday, November 24th, 1987, Tawana asks the bus driver to drop her off at her house in Wappingers Falls, but the bus driver couldn't go out of his way. So this is when the whole thing started. This is what she's telling me, Rodriguez said. She gets off in front of the mobile station on Route 9 and Myers Corner. That's where she's dropped off. Previous accounts said she got off the bus at about 8:45 p.m. She calls home. Her mother says, "Get home, I'm going to kick your butt. You're in deep trouble and you know it. So get home. I'm going to send Ralph to come get you. Why didn't you call?" So Tawana is real mad, real upset, and starts to go home, Rodriguez says. She called home first to see if there was any conflict. She knew that she was in trouble for coming home late. If she was going to be in trouble, she wanted to know ahead of time so she could come up with some kind of a lie to tell her parents where she was. On her way walking home, Ralph came. Ralph picks her up, hits her in the head. That's how she gets the lump on her head. That's why no one knows how recent the lump was, because it was from Tuesday night. It wasn't from Friday night. They had conflict over that. He's the one that hit her on the head. That's when she was abused. She got beaten that night. After she was picked up Saturday, a doctor at St. Francis Hospital in Poughkeepsie asked Tawana whether the men she accused of the assault had struck her. She pointed to an area of her scalp behind her left ear, about the size of a quarter, according to the grand jury report. This was the only bruise doctors found on her body, and it was not judged tender enough to have been caused by a recent blow. King slapped her around. He hit her and threw her into the car and took her home and slapped her around. He said, "I told you not to stay out late. I told you not to go to Newburgh. You're just causing a lot of problems." Now, that night, she knows that's not the end of it. Sources close to the investigation say work records show that King signed out from his job at the Shoreline Bus Company at 11:16 p.m. Tuesday night, more than 2 hours after Tawana got off the bus. Rodriguez said she knows that if she stays in that house, that she's going to be going through some more abuse from Ralph. He doesn't let nothing drop. He always brings things up again and takes it out on her at all times. She runs away that night or early that Wednesday evening. Now, the account that the family gave authorities had Tawana being abducted by 2 white men in a dark car soon after she left the bus. A man with blonde hair and a light brown mustache allegedly snatched her into the car, flashed a badge, and hit her over the head. The abductors allegedly took her into some woods where several other men joined in raping and sodomizing her during a 4-day period. On November 28th, she was found inside a trash bag behind the Pavilion condominium building that her family had moved out of 2 weeks earlier. One of the questions plaguing investigators early on was how Tawana managed to change from the clothes she was last seen wearing to those she had on when she was discovered. The answer, Rodriguez said, is that Tawana wasn't abducted. She returned home that Tuesday night. That's how she gets a change of clothes, he said. After leaving home, Tawana said she spent the remainder of Tuesday night at the family's former apartment at the pavilion, Rodriguez said. Now she's getting upset and she's worried and she's lonesome. She calls her mother either Wednesday or Thursday. She talks to her mother and tells her where she is at. She tells her mother that she is not going to go home if Ralph is going to keep beating up on her. She's had it with him because it's gone too far. Every time Tawana does something wrong, Ralph hits her or her mother hits her, and she doesn't like it anymore. That's the reason that she ran away. Her mother says, Tawana, we can work this out. Tawana says, no, no, we can't. So her mother says, where are you? And she tells her. Her mother says, okay, I'll pick you up and I'll take you to work with me and try to sort this out and try to get you back into the house. I don't know exactly what day. She didn't get into that. She was just describing what was going on in general terms, so I figured the days out myself. Tawana reportedly did not say whether Glenda Brawley ever took her inside the IBM building, where she worked nights as a computer chip cleaner, interesting job, or kept her in the car or elsewhere. There is no record of anyone having spotted the two women inside the plant. Employee records at IBM do not show Glenda reporting for work during the days her daughter was reported missing. The reason no one has seen her during the day was because she was in the pavilion apartment, Rodriguez said. A neighbor told the grand jury that she had seen someone resembling Tawana enter the vacant Brawley apartment shortly after 7:30 a.m. Thursday. Her mother and her come up with a plan to get back into the house, Rodriguez said. Really, Tawana comes up with a plan. What if I just say I was raped? She came up with the idea that she was raped, and Ralph would bring her into the house and feel sorry for her, and everything would be normal. He wouldn't hit on her anymore, and he would treat her a little better. If you were raped, everyone would treat you better. So she thought of the idea of putting feces on her, to pulling her hairpiece out to make it look like a real rape. Her mother said you can write KKK on you with your left hand. So she wrote that on herself to make it look real. Tawana wrote it with her left hand. She was a righty. Wrote it backwards with her left hand so that they might think it is someone else's handwriting. So Tawana writes on herself, puts cotton in her nose to get the smell out. Now, according to Rodriguez's account, Tawana prepared the markings Saturday morning, so that it's fresh and everything. They plan all this Friday night when Tawana's dropped off, and how it's going to go, where it's going to go down, and what time. Her mother would drive up, wait in front of the pavilion, and see her daughter walking around in a daze, put her in the car, and bring her home and tell Ralph, look, I found Tawana, and she was this and this and that. Ralph would have said, let's take her to the police. Her mother would say, no, I'm not going to let the world know that my daughter has been raped. That was the plan, according to this Rodriguez guy. Things went awry, however. Grand jury testimony shows that Glenda Brawley waited in front of the apartment from about 1 p.m. till 1:45 p.m. At about 1:30, a neighbor told Newsday she was vacuuming her house when she spotted Tawana squatting behind the pavilion apartment. She crawled into the large trash bag, hopped twice, and lay down, the woman said. When Tawana didn't move, the neighbor notified a friend and called the sheriff at 1:44. Two male neighbors arrived before officers got there at 1:58. I figured that either Tawana or her mother messed up on the time, Rodriguez said. Some other guy had seen Tawana before her mother did. That's why her mother was in front of the house for so long, waiting for Tawana, but Tawana didn't show. Her mother seen these guys see her, so she left and went straight to the police station. Glenda Brawley reported her daughter missing at the Wappingers Falls police station at 2:02 p.m., 4 days after she had run away from home. Glenda just left. Tawana didn't say if she panicked or not. She just went straight to the police. She didn't know what happened, what was going on, so Tawana didn't say anything, not a word, when she got to the hospital. She felt kind of uncomfortable in the bag, not too right. She says she felt awkward. She didn't feel right. She didn't say she was cold at all. She said she wasn't outside that long. She says she's alone. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do in the hospital. She didn't know what to do on the ride. She just knew she wasn't going to say a word until she talked to her mother. Now her mother and her speak. They didn't speak in the hospital. They speak when Tawana got home. Meanwhile, well, I don't suppose this is all that relevant. It's getting to be extremely long here. This is a huge story, but let me just try to wrap it up. According to Rodriguez's account, Ralph was upset, mad, and really worried. It worked 100% on Ralph. He truly believed that this happened to her. He is truly unaware of anything Tawana and her mother have said, done, or anything. He thinks this is true. Then Rodriguez explained, now it's becoming a racial incident because she's in the hospital and people are seeing KKK all over her and feces on her. They check her to see if she's been raped or anything, and she hasn't been. They proved that. The rape tests are negative. She wasn't raped or anything. She didn't say any more about the hospital. Now the part comes that Tawana didn't know what to say or anything until her mother told her what to say. They must have spoke Saturday and Sunday of what they were going to tell the world. And that's when things got kind of crazy. Juanita Brawley, her aunt, brought in community activists and lawyers C. Vernon Mason and Alton Maddox Jr., and finally, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Her mother and her talked about what they were going to say. So her mother says, "We'll say you were raped by five or six white guys, you never came home Tuesday, that when you came off the bus, you walked up the hill and this happened." They couldn't say that she came home Tuesday, ran away after Ralph hit her. They couldn't say all that because that would jeopardize, and all the focus would go straight to them. She told me it would go straight to them if they didn't tell it this way. Well, I think the rest is kind of history at this point. They sum up the whole thing. Her parents, they messed up. They messed up. Now, it's a controversial issue still to this day. And the reaction to this article has... I'm trying to find it here. There's pages and pages of reactions and things like that. Of course, Al Sharpton and all those folks are saying that that's a lie, too. But what's troublesome in this case, what's troublesome in this whole thing, was the fact that that Al Sharpton, C. Vernon Mason, and the people supposedly claiming that this was a racist incident would never cooperate. They would never give evidence. And that's happening here, too. Al Sharpton said a couple of days ago that... this same story was offered to the New York Times, and that it was never acted upon because the New York Times knew it didn't have any credit, that it wasn't a good story. Sounds fine, except when the New York Times was contacted, they said we never got any such story, and we don't know what he's talking about. So how can you have any faith in something like that? Now, there's an editorial yesterday in Newsday that raised a very good point. What should be done? What should be done about this whole thing? And I'd like to ask our listeners that same question, too. What should be done to Tawana Brawley, if this is true, if she made it up? Now, keep in mind, this is a 15-year-old, a scared 15-year-old, just trying to get out of being beaten up by her mother's live-in boyfriend, who is a convicted wife killer. So, it's not like she planned out this whole big racial thing. I think the people that are guilty of turning this into a big racial thing are the lawyers. The ones that got the press all into this and tried to like stir up all kinds of hatred and fear and things like that. So as far as what should be done to Tawana, whatever is done to a 15-year-old kid that lies, because that's really all this was. It got out of hand, and it went really crazy. Now, at the same time, we've got this other story going on, and this whole Central Park incident, where somebody was raped by a gang of people. As many as 41 people in that gang. Let's see if we have anything off the Associated Press. Nothing yet. Well, we have something on Tawana, but we're not going to talk about that anymore. This is from the Associated Press a couple of days ago. Now, I'm tying these two stories in because I'd like to see what our listeners have to say about these different incidents that are going on and what they reflect upon, what they actually are indicating here. Now, we have this incident where somebody is jogging through Central Park and is practically murdered, still lies very close to death. Now, is this a racial incident? Is this the same as Howard Beach? And what does it mean? How are people responding to it? Let's look at the facts. As doctors delivered discouraging news about the woman who was beaten and raped in Central Park, prayer services were held outside the hospital on Tuesday, and friends of the suspects tried to sort out why the attack occurred. The victim, a 28-year-old Wall Street investment banker, remained in a coma 6 days after a brutal assault. That's a week ago Wednesday, by a gang of youths who ambushed the woman during her usual run through the park. Outside Metropolitan Hospital in East Harlem, about 50 people attended a noon prayer vigil organized by tenants of the Schomburg Plaza, a middle-income apartment complex where four of the eight suspects lived. Mayor Edward Koch convened another vigil at the hospital in the evening, where a rabbi, a Catholic priest, and an Episcopal priest each offered prayers for the victim's recovery and for an end to violence and racial disharmony. A crowd of 300 blacks, whites, and Hispanics, many holding hands and with their heads bowed, stood in silence as the clergy spoke. Let us pray for all those who are caught in the web of pain and violence, all the families and loved ones who are caught in this terrible time. About 100 joggers in shorts and T-shirts joined the service near the end and ran from the hospital to the park near 102nd Street, where the woman was attacked. There they were joined by another 100 joggers. After observing a minute of silence, several runners spoke about safety precautions, including a jogger who was once raped in the park. Now, I think right there that shows you the difference between this incident and Howard Beach. When Howard Beach occurred, it was the family of the accused denied it had anything to do with race, in fact denied the guilt of their kids. In this particular case, you have the community reacting in shock and saying, this is horrible that this happened. Black and white people getting together and condemning the attack and praying for the victim. Now, at the same time, we have to remember that there are families involved here, families of the attackers, too, that are also suffering, and that's something that very often just is forgotten about. But I think the community, the surrounding community, has been much quicker to respond in this case. The attack is very similar to Howard Beach. That in itself is very similar to Howard Beach. So there are similarities, there are differences. Now, we're opening up the phone lines to you. Let's hear your comments on this whole horrible event and all these other horrible things going on, including murders in our backyard and out here on the island, and hostility and all that kind of nasty business. How should it be dealt with? What are the answers? Are there any answers? 632-6901. That is our phone number. Now, don't have any of the latest news on that particular story. Nothing on the Associated Press. I never really on top of these things. Despite the attack, though, last week on a jogger making a moonlight run through Central Park, by the way, I think anyone who would do that has got to be a little crazy to start with. I mean, you know, you could call the guy that got murdered in Howard Beach, you can call him crazy for being in a white neighborhood, but I think jogging through Central Park in the middle of the night alone is insane. But that's beside the point right now. The park continues to be populated after dark by clusters of men and women in shiny stretch pants and high-tech rubber-soled shoes pursuing physical fitness along dirt paths and paved roads well into the night. Many say they run at that hour because it is the only way they can fit exercise into their schedules. While some experts maintain that perceptual differences make running at night easier, and some runners speak of the shimmering city lights and relative tranquility of the park by night, most runners say they run in the dark not by choice but by necessity. When people run, it is a function of their lifestyle, said Tracy Sundland, coach of the Warren Street Social and Athletic Club, whose teams train in Central Park. For some people, the last thing they can think about is running in the morning. Many continue to run at night, sometimes discussing as they go the April 19th attack in which the police say a jogger was raped and beaten by a gang of teenagers. The victim, a 28-year-old investment banker, was assaulted as she ran along a relatively desolate stretch of the 102nd Street transverse in the northern section of Central Park. Since then, she has been comatose and in critical condition at Metropolitan Hospital. Many people who run at night in the park are stubbornly sticking to a fitness routine that is delayed by long hours at the office. There's definitely a runner's personality. Runners have type A controlled personalities, and they don't like their schedules interrupted. They don't want to be told what to do. Bonnie McLear, the Wall Street securities trader who often works late, runs 50 miles per week, said she was attacked near 110th Street in Central Park 2 years ago by a man who stole her headset and hit her in the face. She was running alone during the day. Before my incident, I had this feeling that I was invincible, she said. I thought, this is a healthy outlet. And nothing is going to get in my way. Well, since then, she takes precautions, staying south of 90th Street after dark and not running in deserted areas. But she worries about people who do not. To be in shape is a control and an outlet, she said. Those people who haven't had incidents, I fear for them because they become so focused and so reliant on their running. A few runners said they had adjusted their routine somewhat after hearing about last week's incident. The situation has really created an awareness that you need to think about planning your routes, said Dominique McCary, who trains for marathons in Central Park. Running in numbers is the preferred means of protection. Few runners said they carried weapons. Many who run 5 miles or more preferred running in the northern part of the park to retracing their steps in other sections. I would try to hook up with two or three other people if I knew I was going up into the northern part of the park, Mr. McGarry said. Night running wins some converts because it produces an unusual state of mind, said Ambie Burfoot, executive editor of Runner's World magazine. Okay, well, obviously this is getting off the track here. We don't really care about what the runners have to say. The important thing here is how can such things be prevented? What happened actually mean? I mean, that's basically the question that we're asking here tonight. Is this a racial incident? Is this something that represents a problem in the city? Or is it being jumped on by the media? Is the media making this into a racial incident? Let's hear from you. 632-6901. We've got open lines here. It's 1118. The program's Brain Damage. Jim, are you leaving?
Yes.
Well, thanks for whatever it was we're doing here for the last 2 hours.
Preparing to leave.
Preparing to leave. Well,
thank you.
Well, you're all set for the wild there.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why people aren't calling. This is a serious issue. Maybe you want an appeal and get people to call, because sometimes you can do that better than me.
Oh, you really think so?
Yeah.
I think
you I'm not doing very good right now.
I think what we should do then is perhaps have maybe people call in to say who they think gets them to call in more effectively, you or I. Maybe that'll at least bring some phone calls in, and then you can ask them the question at hand.
Thank you, Jim.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. Well, we'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yes, yes, take care.
Okay. Well, I'll just keep reading the news then from the newspaper if people don't want to talk about this. I can understand why they don't want to talk about this, but I'll tell you this, listening to radio stations in the city, they don't have any trouble getting calls, and I don't know if this is Long Island, if they were all in a coma here. Three of the six youths indicated... made the most horrible mistake people can make. Three of the six youths indicted, in the rape and beating of a jogger in Central Park were denied bail... that was yesterday, Friday, at a raucous hearing in State Supreme Court in Manhattan after the prosecution called the crime the most vicious and brutal assault ever committed in New York City. Okay, folks, this ought to get you calling up when I tell you about this. The prosecutor, Assistant District Attorney Elizabeth Lederer, said of all the defendants, they left a trail of ruin, assault, and injury. There is no reason to set bail here. But defense lawyers argued before Acting Justice Carol Berkman that worse crimes had been committed by Robert M. Chambers, who was convicted in the strangulation death of Jennifer Levin in Central Park, and by a group of white youths from Howard Beach, Queens, who chased a black man to his death on the Belt Parkway. In their arguments in support of their bail request, the lawyers did not mention the word race, but they said their clients, all of whom are black, were being held without bail. Although Mr. Chambers, who is white and who pleaded guilty to manslaughter in Miss Levin's death, as well as the Howard Beach defendants, were granted bail. Now, the question here is race an issue there, or is he just full of garbage? 632-6901. But Mrs. Lederer emphasized the viciousness of the attack on the jogger, a 28-year-old investment banker who was beaten and raped while running along the 102nd Street Traverse in Central Park on the night of April 19th. What's interesting also, and tells you something about the state of affairs today, you notice the name of the victim has never been released. There's some kind of weird law that, well, not law, but just feeling that somebody who's been raped should not have their name released. Now, if you're murdered, you get your name released. If you're beaten up in the street, you get your name released. But if you're raped, you don't get your name released. We still have this stigma about this. I don't quite know what the rationale is. The person will be victimized more in her place of work. I mean, I don't see what possible difference it makes now as this person lies near death. I don't think anything is being served by keeping her name secret. I think her embarrassment is the least of this person's problems right now. So I've been reading in newspapers that the New York Times, Newsday has the name of the person, but they're not releasing it because they don't think it should be released. Anyway, Mrs. Lederer, the assistant district attorney, emphasized the viciousness of the attack on the jogger, a 28-year-old investment banker who was beaten and raped while running along the 102nd Street. I said this already. As she lay screaming for her life, they silenced her with rocks and a rain of punches to her face so they could continue to rape her, Mrs. Lederer said quickly and with little visible emotion. But her voice trembled for a moment as she gave the grand jury's account of what had happened to the victim. She was raped, sodomized, brutally beaten, and left bleeding for hours in the thickest woods, the prosecutor said. Although she said some of the defendants had been described as children and have told the police that they were just having fun, Ms. Lederer said that as a result of their rampage, a 28-year-old woman lies unconscious with pneumonia with severe fractures of the skull and face. But Colin Moore, the lawyer for one of the youths, asked Justice Berkman not to punish and seek retribution by denying bail. I ask you not to bow to the passion of the mob or to satisfy cries for vengeance, he said. Is he right? Is that a proper way of dealing with the situation? 632-6901, area code 516. At Metropolitan Hospital Center, doctors performed a CAT scan yesterday to measure more accurately the extent of the brain damage that the victim suffered as a result of two skull fractures she sustained in the attack. They said the scan showed that brain swelling had been reduced and that internal head injuries were healing, but they also said that there was no improvement in brain function and that any recovery would involve severe and permanent brain damage. That doesn't mean, that's not why we call our program Brain Damage, by the way. Occasionally that phrase just pops up on its own. 632-6901. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Eric.
Can you believe nobody's interested in this? This is the most controversial topic in New York City. It's on the front page of every newspaper. And our listeners aren't even interested enough to call in and give their feelings?
I just came in from New York City.
Well, then you've seen the talking on the street. You've seen what people are concerned with.
Those new portisans that they put every place?
What is the story with those?
I don't know. They just put them up all over the place.
Can anyone get into them?
I guess so.
Well, that's good.
They say women and men.
You're dripping wet, you know that?
Yeah, it's really raining hard out there.
Now, we're talking about two things. The Tawana Brawley incident, which they're saying now that she made it up completely. What do you think?
Yeah.
I never had much faith in the story to start with.
It makes sense.
It does.
But it's really sad that in order to escape being sexually abused, she said she was sexually abused, and then...
I don't know if it was being sexually... I don't know if she was being sexually abused. She was being beaten
abused.
Up. Right. Yeah. But what else would work, you know? I missed the bus. No, that's not going to work. I fell down and forgot where I live. No, it wouldn't work. She has to say something that would make people feel sorry for her. Make this one crazy guy that happens to live in her house that beats her up, make him feel sorry for her and not beat her up anymore. She did it out of fear. I mean, when I heard the story, I always knew in my head somewhere that something happened to her.
Yeah. But what?
But what?
And what was the source?
Yeah. Now, this does seem to make sense. I mean, it's not the definitive answer or anything like that, but it does make sense. I mean, I don't think she should be punished for causing all these problems. I think, you know, there are people that quite definitely made much more out of this than you know, should have been made, and tried to incite anger and all kinds of other nasty things. Now, we're talking about that. We're also talking about the Central Park incident and how it compares to Howard Beach. You know, I happen to think it's pretty much the same kind of attack as Howard Beach, with one difference.
What?
Do you even know what I'm
the
talking about?
The color of the people?
Well, I mean, yeah, well, that's obviously a difference, black people beating up a white person. But the mob didn't convene for the reason of beating up a white person. The mob in Howard Beach did convene for that reason. They ran to a party and said, hey, there's some niggers on Belt Parkway or whatever. You know, we have to take care of that situation. That's when the mob formed. Here, the mob was formed hours beforehand. They were just causing trouble all throughout the place. And this is one of the actions. But I think, you know, it's the same basic thing.
They were doing what they felt was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they had learned through this sick society of ours is mm-hmm. fun. And that it's really a great
time. How did they learn something
out
like that through our sick society? It's
did you ever watch TV for 6 hours straight, would they?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like the A-Team and all this other stuff, and how did you feel
so
after
how, that? Well, how can the criminal aspect be thought of as fun? I mean, aren't the good guys usually emphasized on those shows?
No, because, I mean, the good guys are emphasized, but you always know it's the bad guys who are having the fun.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, it's not interesting. It's true.
Yeah, well, I mean,
do you think that's true? Call 632-6901. Give us your opinion on this subject.
Maybe the phones are broken.
Maybe
the radio station's broken. Is that transmitter on?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I've been listening to talk shows all week long.
99.8%. 99.9%.
I've been listening to talk shows in the city all week long.
Yeah.
And this is a volatile issue, you know?
It is.
And, you know,
all the other stations get calls. Why don't we, huh?
It's not like, you know, we're not a part of this.
Do you have any calls at all?
Not a single. Actually, we have two now, but I want to get
a
couple more.
So put them on.
Because they're probably
suitable. No, just put them on.
Right.
Should I go in the other room so I can hear them?
No, you don't have headphones.
Well, no, I figured out how I could do it so they could hear me talk also.
You're not going to push the button down on the phone at the same time.
Yeah.
That,
why?
That sort of lowers the. Well, go ahead, do what you want to do.
All right.
I'll bring you up. Chris is going to go into the other studio. Our phone number is 632-6901. We're taking your phone calls, area code 516-632-6901. If you're sitting around saying, oh, I don't want to call, just think how many other stations can you call and let your voice be heard and let other people hear what thoughts are being processed in your head. Think of it that way. 632-6901.
Eric,
yes, Chris, there you are. You've appeared in the other studio.
Yeah.
Okay,
here
we're going to take the first call now, and we'll see if your little plan works.
Oh, caller number two, you hung up. Call back again. All right.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to speak to us, that's okay.
All right, they're back again.
Well, you don't know that's them. That could be somebody else. I mean, you can't
true.
Tell by the little red light who it is.
True.
Not yet, anyway. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I didn't just hang up. I was the other guy, number two.
That's okay.
No, you were calling number one.
Was I?
You're calling number one. It doesn't matter. Just
whatever.
What
are you guys talking about? I just tuned in. I missed totally out on what you're saying. I just heard you to call in.
Well, we're talking about the alleged racial attack in New York and Tawana Brawley and that kind of stuff. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I didn't hear anything about a racial attack in New York.
Well, did you hear about the person who, the jogger who was...
Oh, that one,
yeah.
Do
you think that's a racial attack? Hello?
Yeah, my phone just broke.
Phone just broke.
I don't think it was racial. I think it was probably just a normal mugging. I mean, people get mugged there all the time.
Yeah,
but not with a group of 30 people.
Well, I guess I don't know all the specifics then.
Uh-huh.
But from what I heard, I thought it was just a jogger who was jogging and got mugged when I was led to believe that she was alone.
Well, I mean, this was more than mugged. This person is practically dead now. I mean, she was raped, she was mugged, she was beaten up quite a bit, and they really doubt she's ever going to recover. And this was a mob thing, you know. This was at least a dozen people involved in this, and some say as many as 30 or 40 involved in it. So it's,
40 involved in this one person?
Well, involved in the rampage through the park.
Oh.
I'm not sure how many were actually there at that time. We may never know that.
And then,
well, anyone to do anything like that is most likely sick to begin with.
Yeah, I think, as I said before, that is the difference in this case. The community, the family seems to recognize that fact, and they say if these people are guilty, they should pay. I haven't seen, you know, the black community backing off from that at all. And that wasn't the case in Howard Beach. Howard Beach, they were saying, you know, well, these people were asking for trouble, you know. So I think there's a difference there, you know. This could be the same kind of situation, but I think the difference is in how we handle it.
Well, I think if anything's treated as anything racially, it has to be looked at what crime was involved to carry out the racial attack. You know, if someone perhaps says a racial slur towards another person, then...
Well, of course, there's no one there to bear witness to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if someone takes their racial prejudice out on someone in an aggressive form, then... I mean, it should be treated as an assault, as a rape case, or as anything else. I mean, regardless of what the cause was, it should be treated for the what the effect was, you know?
So,
Did I make that clear enough?
You're saying that the crime should be... The punishment should fit the crime, I guess, is what you're saying.
I'm saying if a girl was raped, then she should... raped and practically killed, then... And someone, whoever caused that or did that, should be brought up on charges for attempted rape or attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think racial attack, that's a very broad term. You can use it in an article in a journal or a type of movie could be a racial attack or a prejudice. Like, I think this movie about Jesus Christ, that was it The Last Temptation of Christ?
Uh-huh.
And that could be, I mean, a lot of Catholics thought that was, it wasn't racism, that was just prejudice, a lot of people thought, on the part of anti-Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a crime, you know, it's not illegal. If I go out and start beating up any sort of racial people that I might not like, then that's a crime, and I should be tried for assault, you know?
So what do you think should happen in this particular case?
Well, did they catch the people who did this?
Yeah, they caught, I believe, about 6 or 7 of them.
And if they're, I think they should be tried for assault and attempted murder.
Now, the article that I read a little while ago, the court hearing yesterday that was rather loud and had all kinds of conflicts in it. The main point of contention was whether or not these people should be let out on bail. The judge refused to let them out on bail, and what do you think of that?
Well, I'm not too familiar with the proceedings in courts, but from what I understand, people that are commit very hideous or really insane crimes, usually heinous, I guess, but usually aren't let out on bail, are they?
I'm not sure. It depends on the judge. But, you see, the thing that bothers me is that action is being turned into a racial issue. They're saying, well, because these people are black, that's why they're not being let out on bail. And I just, you know, I have so much difficulty with that.
I think if they were white, they wouldn't be let out on bail either.
I would doubt it very much, you know. I'd like to doubt it. You know, if that's true, then I guess, you know, it's something I'm not seeing.
Well, I'm white, you know. I don't think I'm privileged or anything like that.
Uh-huh. Well, economically, you probably are, you know, in comparison to the rest of the world.
Well, in comparison to the rest of the world, the majority of Americans are pretty much advantaged, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Maybe. In some ways.
In some ways.
Cut off from the rest of the world as well.
Well, that's a whole different story, I guess. But
well, we're going to go to some other calls, okay?
Oh, sure. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes, in reference to your thing about people being, the United States were being privileged, even people on welfare in this country are very privileged.
I'm sorry, people where?
People on welfare are very privileged compared to some of the arts of the world.
Uh-huh.
Because I travel all over the world, and I see the conditions, and it's disgusting. And people in these welfare hotels have it better than some people in Ecuador or Brazil or in Europe, certain parts, in Korea.
Uh-huh.
And I feel this thing about, we're in the United States, we over-dramatize a lot of things. And I feel that...
Uh-oh, we lost that person. I don't know why we lost that person, but they just suddenly disappeared. I hope they call back. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a horrible hum on your line, but go ahead anyway.
Oh, no, my name is Wayne. I'm a bigot.
Uh-huh.
I'm a racist.
Okay, well, Wayne, in order to get your viewpoints across a little more clear, can you call us right back?
Right back?
Yeah, because you have a horrible hum there, and people might associate the hum with your views.
Okay.
All right. We wouldn't want that. 632-6901. So we got two people, hopefully, that will call us back right away. And hopefully a lot more people calling up right now to express their feelings about all this kind of thing. Area code 516. 632-6901. It's 11:37, 23 minutes to midnight. Of course, the brother's coming on at midnight with all kinds of other fun things, mostly music, of course, for those of you that are sick of talk. But for now, we're talking on the phone. We're eliciting your opinions, and hopefully you have one. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, this is the bigot again.
Oh, okay. Much better line.
Better line?
Yeah, now...
And the reason I call myself a bigot is because it seems I fit into that mold because I don't agree with everything the bleeding-heart liberals say about this, the phony white-black issue.
Okay, let's go over that point by point, then.
Okay, you're comparing the jogger being beaten and raped in Central Park to the incident in Howard Beach, and I don't see the there's that much difference to it, except for the point that Cedric Sanford had a knife. He was attacked. He had a knife, and he was wielding it. The jogger didn't have a knife. Now, she was white, and she was being attacked. She didn't have a knife. The white woman wasn't drunk. I don't even know if she was white, but everybody seems to think that this woman that was attacked was white.
Well, you know...
She wasn't drunk, but the whites that attacked Griffith, they were drunk. The only thing I see similar is that Sharpton and Maddox are sticking their black noses into this so that they can get some more their pictures on the front of the paper and some more airtime on the radio. That's similar.
Well, I mean, I agree with some of what you're saying as far as some people using this as an opportunity to further their own views on the whole matter. I'm not quite sure what it is you're trying to say about the Howard Beach incident. I mean, that was a pretty clear case of somebody being chased to his death on the Bell Parkway. He wasn't.
That's
he didn't pull a knife on these
that's
people.
Similar or racist about it. He was killed. When he was killed, he was four blocks from his assailants, running in the parkway. Now this woman was not running four blocks away. She was right under a pack of animals. Now what's so racist about that?
What's so racist about that?
Now how come 15 black and Hispanic youth can jump on a white woman or whatever color she was?
Uh-huh.
She could be Oriental.
Uh-huh.
How come they can do it and they have a lawyer? They have a lawyer before they're even arrested.
Well, I mean, that's this legal system. That's the way things are. People get lawyers when they're arrested or before they're arrested.
We are told now that they're disadvantaged youths and they have an anger towards white society because we deny them.
Well, don't confuse what the lawyers are saying with what is actually the case here. Because the lawyers are always going to come up with some crazy story to try to get their clients off. Okay, so let's not confuse that. Let's look. Forget what the lawyers are saying. Forget all those crazy things. You know, and let's just look at
Sharpton
what happened.
Sharpton's not a lawyer. What's he doing there?
Sorry?
Sharpton. He is not a lawyer.
He is. He's just got a big mouth. I don't know. He likes to say these things. He likes to incite people to think something is racial when it's not.
All right. Now I know the system, and I've been a little bit around. I lived upstate all last winter near Wappingers Falls.
Uh huh.
You know what that town is like now? They have fistfights and riots at the convenience stores every weekend between the whites and blacks because the town is torn asunder.
Now, who do you blame for that?
Sharpton and the media.
I'd have to agree with that.
And the liberal left.
I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I can't blame Tawana Brawley for that.
I've put on that lion.
Now, I don't know if you listened to the story that I just read a little while ago.
I did.
Well, how can you blame somebody for just wanting to keep from being beaten up? That's the only reason she made up the story. She didn't say, let's make this a decisive issue between whites and blacks. She was just trying to get home safely that night and avoid the hell she's been going through. So I don't think you can blame her.
Did she bankrupt a town?
Well, that wasn't her intention. The events did that, you know. The opportunists did that. The media did that, but I don't think she did.
She shouldn't be held any kind of accountable.
All she did was lie. She was a 15-year-old kid who was scared, who came up with a story. Don't tell me you never came up with a story to get out of something with your parents.
If I had ever made up a story that would get to that point, my mother would have beat me over the head.
Well, the thing, though, here is her mother was part of the story. She's the one that suggested it, in fact.
Right.
According to this Newsday story, which seems to make sense, but that's only my opinion.
And how come they were pandered to, and Mrs. Brawley was not arrested when she, like anyone else would be, if you didn't go to the DA or to answer a subpoena, I'd be in jail in 2 minutes, and I can tell you I would be, because I have been.
Uh-huh.
So how come everybody panders to him? How come they were afraid of Sharpton in Miami at the Super Bowl game? He came down there and made a big stink. You know why? The economic situation was they didn't want a riot. It paid him off, and he left.
I'll tell you a secret. You raise a big stink, you get away with a lot more. That's really all it boils down to. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. It's how big a stink you can raise.
Oh, that's what Hitler said. He said, tell a big lie. It's the same as don't steal anything small.
Well, in any event, what do you think should be done in this particular case that we're talking about the Central Park issue?
It's gone too far.
How has it gone too far?
The antagonism between the white society, since we're always labeled as a white society,
mm-hmm.
and minority groups in this country. The only way you're going to have it back to the status to a proper status quo is probably a race war. Because people are a little too put up, you know, there's no curing it. I don't see any cure.
Well, you see, I don't see that big a problem in everyday life. I see it in the newspapers, I see it on TV, but in everyday life, I don't see it. I see black and white people getting along just fine. And I think the only folks that want to see race riots and all kinds of conflicts are those people writing the headlines and those people who have something to gain by it. You know, like lawyers and political activists and those kind of people.
True,
but I don't think there's a real, you know, deep-seated problem that can't be controlled or improved. You know, I don't think it's reached that stage. I'm a bit of an optimist.
I try not to even read the paper because I've gotten to the point where I'm a total pessimist about what's going on.
Well,
I'm so disgusted with our society, the way it's run, just with the crap that's on television.
Just let me ask you one thing. What is it that makes you upset? When do you get the most upset? Is it right after reading the newspaper? Is it right after watching TV? Or is it right after something that happens to you personally?
Nothing ever happens to me personally.
See, that is my point.
I mind my own damn business.
That's my point, though. There isn't that much going on a personal level. All of this is what you're reading in the New York Post or something, and it's designed to get you upset and buy the paper the next day. So don't get confused by that.
I'm not confused.
Okay, well, I mean, I wasn't specifically saying don't you get confused. I'm talking to everybody that's listening.
I know.
And Chris in the other room, if he's still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
That's good.
Okay. I'm not confused. I am mad.
Okay, but who are you mad at?
Who am I mad at?
Yeah.
I'd say the next person who probably beeps their horn at me.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of people who are bigots and racist just like me. And the next time someone messes with us, all hell is going to break loose.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot of people that are at that point. I am so sick and tired of the way things are going, and I don't have any say in it. I'll be the first one arrested. What if I got attacked? What if you got attacked on campus? I wasn't down. I was upstate when this last thing came around. Was Sharpton out there for the rape? Now, if it was a white guy raping a white girl, would he have had all these activists on his side?
Of course not. Well, it wouldn't be a racial thing in his eyes. I don't think Sharpton has been involved in this, though.
I'm really worried because being white, if I defend myself against six Puerto Ricans, I may go to jail.
if I come out on top.
Uh-huh.
Let's say I stabbed them back. They could be racist. I could go to jail for it.
Uh-huh. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't worry about that so much, you know?
Well, I got a sheetrock knife in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
I'll just say it was a tool. But it's getting to the point where...
But what is getting to the point? Have you been attacked, or are you just reading this in the newspaper? You see, I think you're letting these events that are happening and being reported in some might say an irresponsible way control your life. You see, and that's affecting you adversely, and that's creating a problem.
If you're not prepared, you're going to fall.
Uh-huh.
You're going to take it. You're going to take it.
But you seem to think it's imminent.
Well, I live in Central Islip. It's imminent over here. It's very imminent over here. There's people walking in my yard all the time picking tin cans out of my garbage for the nickels.
Yeah, that's hardly like being attacked.
I don't want no one in my yard. I don't want no one in my yard walking in my yard. If I walked in your backyard and went through your garbage, you going to like that?
Well, I wouldn't like it, but I wouldn't view it the same way as being attacked by somebody with a knife, you know?
What if someone walks in my yard and attacks me with a knife?
Well, that's different. Then I'd say, yes, this is a case of being attacked with a knife. It's you know... That's a serious thing. Somebody going through your garbage is, you know, it's a pain, but it's not that serious. It's not worth getting all upset about.
It's a matter of degrees.
One-on-one in a fight.
Uh-huh.
Makes a report first, wins.
Yeah, but you see, you can't always think of every single experience as ending in a fight. You know, that's the problem. That's one of the problems.
You try and throw someone off your property. They will sue you.
Well... I don't think I can really change your views, so...
It took 30 years to get them this way.
Okay, well, keep us updated if anything exciting happens.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Oh, boy, 632-6901. What do you think, Chris?
I'm just confused. But I see. I mean, this guy's really tense.
Yeah, you know, and...
And I'm sure there are a lot of people like him.
That's
what do you think we should do about it?
About what? Tense people?
Should the media, like, calm down, or what? Who's...
Well, I mean, everything you say has an effect, you know, and I don't think that's being looked upon enough. I mean, when you write these sensationalist stories that may not necessarily be completely accurate and probably aren't, they make people angry, and angry at the wrong people. You see, I don't know, you know, I don't know why everyone is jumping to conclusions about this when you know, nothing is really happening like it's being said in the newspapers. I don't know. We can learn something from it, I guess. What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, I'd like to get some more calls before we go off tonight. We have about 10 minutes left. Our number is 632-6901. Area code 516, and we have open lines right now.
You had the full lines before. I mean, what did you do to all those calls there?
I don't know. I must have scared them away or something. Maybe one of our callers scared them away. Who knows?
Hmm.
But...
Who knows? Maybe we can just end the show early. Oh, we got a call.
Oh.
Maybe we can check out the CD that I just bought.
What CD is it?
It's Sonic Death. Sonic Youth Live.
What part of the city were you in?
The village. I was looking at apartments. I was supposed to get one.
You got to move into the New York City?
Well, I was supposed to, and then the person whose place I was supposed to move into, or sublet, whatever,
uh-huh.
I said something that supposedly really offended her. And
really?
So she said, I'm not letting you move in here.
What'd you say?
I said, well, I can't say it over the air.
Wow.
So then she just gave me the keys to her apartment and said, you can stay here whenever you want.
Wait, I don't understand the difference there.
It's really weird. I don't know. I just know.
Sounds
I
like mixed signals to me, if you
yeah.
ask me.
You know these spoiled rich kids. Let's go to this phone call.
632-6901. Let's get some more phone calls. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, wow. So soon.
It happens. It happens.
It happens.
It's a dead night. I don't know where everybody is.
No, there were a lot of calls before. They're all gone.
Yeah, where'd they go?
Are
they watching
know,
Saturday
back.
Night or something?
Seth, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Wait, am I can you hear the radio behind me?
Never mind that. What do you have to say?
What I have to say? Well... I don't know. I've grown up here in suburbia, and race has never really affected me. And, you know, I don't think of people in terms of black and white. And I don't know. I just can't there's so many people that sit there and generalize and say, well, I'm going to be beat up by black people, or I'm going to be beat up by...
Well, what's the percentage of black people around you as compared to white people, do you think?
Exactly. It's not... It's less, probably less than 1%.
Yeah.
But
so?
Still, I mean, I still go to places which are mostly black, but I can't deal with saying, well, it's mostly black, because I just can't deal with generalizing like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the black part is only what you see on the outside. It's what's inside that's different with every person.
Yep.
And, you know, just to call people black and to call people Hispanic and to call people, I mean, that's just...
Somebody called me a freak.
Well, since you
well, that's
are,
only
right?
natural.
Anyway, but... Just to label people like that.
Uh-huh. I mean, I've seen a lot of reaction in the black community, different opinions about this whole Central Park incident, like these people should be strung up, or, you know, these people are getting a raw deal, you know, all different reactions. And to say that, you know, the black people are saying this and the white people are saying this is wrong, you know, that's not the way it is.
But on the other hand, I can see how someone can say, I really think that it's reverse racism in the fact that when people attack someone and they happen to be black, it's called racism when they're sued or whatever. Hmm. And it really is reverse racism, and it's gone a little bit too far.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think carrying a knife in your pocket is the way to stop that.
No, I mean, I can't imagine that working for anybody, and that certainly same thing holds true for guns. I mean, when you see little kids walking into schools with guns, I don't know how anybody can stand up for having it in homes and in people's pockets and things like that.
Hey, Eric, I have a neat idea.
What's that?
You want to try taking two calls at once? I'll put a caller up in here.
You can try that. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, they hung up. You, who was calling from on campus, call up again. 632-6901.
Well, if they were listening to you, the phone would be ringing by now, because that's how long it takes for a call to go through on campus. So obviously they're not going to do it.
Ah, these people.
I don't understand, you know, it's like, I don't know. Whenever you talk about something serious on the radio, nobody wants to talk about it.
But when, okay, here we go.
You talk about something stupid.
Okay, hello, you're on brain damage. Oh, they hung up.
What's something stupid we
hello, you're
about?
On brain damage.
Hello?
Yeah.
I've been listening all night, but I keep calling and it's not going through.
Okay, you got through.
Ah, calls
but
are being
the guy
dropped.
That just called, I thought that I agreed with what he said about the woman being raped in Central Park, and then all of the lawyers for the guys that did it trying to say it was a racial issue, and I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's
just a fact that someone was brutally attacked.
Yeah.
And then the lawyers are trying to make this big racial thing out of it, which is what I think the lawyers did with Tawana Brawley.
Well, they're trying to get their client off the hook. It's their business.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it had...
When I first heard about it, I didn't even know what color the people were that did it. All I heard was that some woman was really hurt and raped. And I didn't think, oh, they're black, oh, they're white. I just heard that this awful thing happened. And the lawyers doing this, it's like that guy just said about reverse racism. They're using this, and they're not thinking, my God, people shouldn't be running around Central Park hurting people. It's not fair. They're using it to their own advantage.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I don't know if anybody can hear me.
Wait, hold on.
I'm going to try to say it anyway.
Ma'am, can you hear Eric?
This is me. I'm talking. Testing 1-2.
Okay. No. Well, turn up your radio slightly.
I'm going to say what I have to say anyway, regardless of whether or not anyone's listening. That's just the way I am.
All I can hear is...
Ah.
You can only hear me?
I'm about to go on a tirade.
Well, if you turn him up, like, just a tiny bit on the radio, you'll be able to hear him. Okay?
Okay.
I'm not saying anything now, though. Okay. Of course, all the drama of what I was going to say has been lost now, but all I wanted to say was there are racial elements at work here, obviously. I mean, it does appear that way. They did seem to go after white victims, but that is not the important matter here. I mean,
yes, you're right.
There is a racial, you know, a flavor to all of this kind of thing, but what really happened was a crime was committed. It was a rape and an attack and a near murder. And that's the way it should be dealt with, and people should not say, well, I'm going to side with this person because they're black, I'm going to side with this person because they're white. Forget it. Just side with whoever, you know, should be sided with, and forget the color, because that just distorts everything.
I agree with them.
But what happens is the lawyer doing their business.
And that's bad, because justice is a business, and that's...
Yeah, that's it. Justice is a business. You've got it. Just like everything else.
Seth hit it on the head.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's what messes things
whatever
up.
Whatever it takes.
You know, sell the verdict to whoever has the most money. I mean, it's not that, but if you've got more money, you can get a better lawyer. And
not necessarily better, but louder.
A good lawyer can get you off of pretty much anything.
Right, and the thing is, if somebody is defending you in court, and you admit that you're guilty...
She hung up.
You admit that you're guilty, right?
Yeah.
Now, they're still going to represent you, even though they know that you're guilty, you know? That's kind of crazy, I think. I don't know how you can justify that. Anyway, Seth, thanks for calling. We're going to take another call.
No problem.
And,
We gotta get out of here.
Yes, we're gonna try to get out gracefully. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
All right, listen, I've been listening to your show here, and I just want to say that the justice system in New York is a circus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if somebody like Sharpton, the biggest clown of them all, can get out there and cause racial tension to get some clients off, him and that Maddox guy trying to get these lowlifes off. You know, this is bullshit.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the media doesn't help either. They play up all this crap that's always on the front page. Why the heck can't we have a news media like in Britain? You turn on the BBC, they give you the news, they don't give you any crap. You know?
Well, you know, I think national news does tend to be a little bit more responsible than local news. Local news, they're just going for the ratings, period, and they don't care what they do.
It's all a circus.
Uh-huh. Oh, I agree with that. It certainly is a circus. But at the same time, you don't want to prejudge somebody because of who's on their side, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, just to get me all fired up. It's the first time I called you, but I'm a little bit annoyed about this whole thing.
Uh-huh, but let me ask you the same question I asked the other gentleman. What is it that's annoying you? It's what you read in the newspapers, right? It's not what actually is happening.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, I think there's a very big difference. I don't think that what the news... It's like when there was this rape on campus, right? The media turned that into a big racial thing, right? A black person rapes a white person, and the whole campus is divided. That's not the way it was at all.
Yeah,
the campus wasn't divided.
This is my point here. The media becomes reality. How do you distinguish the two?
By telling yourself that what the media says is not necessarily what's going on, by finding out for yourself.
And telling
what do you need the media for if it's not going to tell you what the truth is?
Well, it's an avenue, you know. It's a way of finding out.
Another big business, just like the legal system.
Exactly.
Big,
yeah.
Maybe people should start writing the media and saying,
well,
"Listen, I'm tired of this garbage."
I don't know.
I mean, you know, in effect, we are the media because, you know, we tell the media what's going on.
If you distort the truth. If some clown like Sharpton can get up there and these poor underprivileged youth, everybody's underprivileged. Now, my parents didn't own no slaves. My family didn't own no slaves. I don't want to hear this crap anymore.
Uh-huh. Well,
it's getting pretty ridiculous.
Be angry at Sharpton. Be angry at the people that distort the views that are expressed and that express these things. But, you know, don't be angry at everybody that you think is guilty because they probably aren't. See what I'm saying?
All right. Whatever you say, Eric.
Okay, thanks for calling. You see what I'm saying, Chris?
I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Like, don't kill each other just because the media is, like, hyping you up.
Right.
It's just like the government hyping up, you know, the whole country for a war or something.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, I don't know why they're doing it.
Luckily, I don't think the people have been falling for it at all. Well,
yeah, I mean,
much as, you know, the government may like it to.
Rather than rising up and saying these are all lies, I just sense kind of an indifference.
Oops, sorry.
It's okay. Everyone, hope you're feeling better. Everyone just sort of goes about their daily business and say this doesn't really affect me, and I guess to a degree it doesn't. In every instance that I've been involved with the mass media, you know, I've been involved in several stories of theirs. Every instance, they've gotten some fundamental facts completely wrong. And that's got to tell you something about the way all these stories are. They misinterpret. They're human beings, too, but they're also, they've got ulterior motives sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Not all journalists, of course, but some sensationalize things. And that can lead to a lot of misunderstandings and worsened situations, and I think that's what you're seeing here.
Well, isn't it something like National Enquirer is the leading selling newspaper and TV Guide is the leading selling magazine?
Well, I don't know who ever categorized National Enquirer as a newspaper, but it's a lot of people buy that garbage.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah, a lot of people buy that,
yeah.
And it's You know, we heard a lot of hostility tonight, and I think that's important, because that hostility is out there. But where is it coming from? What's causing the hostility? You know, it's not like...
How is it going to be stopped?
I don't know.
That's the main thing, is how are you going to stop it?
I don't know.
Is this your new theme music?
Communication. No, it's not. It's just a record I found that I like a lot. So, anyway, thanks for coming by, Chris. Thanks, Jim Wiener, who is even now on his way home.
Yeah.
Thanks to, I don't know, God, I guess, and everyone else that's created this fine planet. Thanks to...
the people who try to keep it up.
Yeah.
Who try to protect the planet instead of abusing it.
You know, I thought of something disturbing the other day.
What?
Well, future generations are going to think of nature, right, and pollution as something that's always been around. You know, and that's going to make them stop wanting clean water, because they're just going to say, oh, streams are polluted. It's a fact of life. Now, think of it. If you grew up and everything was polluted, you wouldn't really care that it wasn't polluted centuries ago, right?
Yeah.
So that's a scary thing. You must not let it fall into that state of disrepair where we take it, you know, for granted and assume it's always been like that, because then we won't have the motivation to get out. And I wish I could draw a parallel between that and what we were talking about tonight. I'm sure there's one in there somewhere, but...
There is. I see it.
You do? What is it?
I don't know, but I see it way down the line.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that next week on Brain Damage at 10 p.m. here on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
That's right.
I'm Chris Crowley.
I'm Eric Corley.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, how did you suddenly take over this show? Suddenly you're the person giving all the orders, and I'm just saying, yeah, hello, and all that kind of thing. Okay, Chris.
That's how I became program director of this station at one point.
Yeah, that was a scary time.
And I wisened up and quit.
We didn't throw you out, huh?
What? Oh, no.
One step away from that.
I stepped down to lowly music director.
Yeah, lowly. The lowliest we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the way it should be. 2 minutes after 12 o'clock.
Good night, Eric.
Good night, Chris. Hello, Brother Bill.
Hello.
The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains and locks. Got to keep the loonies on the car. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more.
feel